system online. Initiate transfer protocol. Your turn next.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Turn Next. I'm DC, and I am here today with Tony.
Hey.
And also with a new member of the team, it's Jordy Hicks.
Hello.
And Jordy, why don't you introduce yourself for those who aren't familiar with your amazing work in the game industry?
Yes. Okay, so I am a former Privateer Press studio painter, which means I'm one of the two goons in the office that actually paint the miniatures you see on the box art. And that's my claim to fame, or something like it, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's on the box art. It's also in the various books. You've written a bunch of painting tutorials and stuff in the books or magazines or Privateer Insider.
Yeah, so you did that badass Xerxes, didn't you?
I did do that. That's true. That is one thing that people will actually possibly recognize of my work. So that's nice, because most of the time I think people still assume Meg Maples is still doing my job.
And she is not.
She's not. But I was forced to log on to my computer as her every day, and also my iTunes and also our art server, all as Meg Maples. So, and some of my coworkers would also email me and address me as Meg Maples on purpose.
So nice. The real question then becomes, does Dallas have to respond to things as Meg Maples or as Jordy Hicks?
I'm thinking probably Meg Maples, because I'm assuming nobody changed it to my name after I left.
Or maybe he's just Dallas. Maybe you just got stuck being somebody else.
Oh, geez, I really hope not. But yeah, that's possible.
In addition to your paint jobs, you're also known for your conversion work. Usually that involves taking male miniatures and changing them so they have less clothes on.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And what can you tell us about that?
Oh yeah. I guess the thing that, people might recognize is my shirtless Xerxes, which that was an idea I had before I even got the job at Privateer Press. I saw the dude that was pulling the, men off, battle engine.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this strapping lad would make an excellent Xerxes. So I was joking about it with my friends at the local game store, and they really wanted to hold me to it. So in typical speedy fashion, a couple years later, I actually made that conversion. It was one of the few things I did for myself while I was working at Privateer Press, but I'm pretty proud of him.
Yeah, I also on the Jordy Hicks painting Facebook, I think it is, you've got some naked barbarian lads up there.
Oh, that's true. God, I forgot. Yes. Also, my other, well, one of my other, I guess, naked muscle men is my HeroQuest character. I found a naked barbarian miniature and enhanced his dork. And then...
Oh, so that's a conversion as well as a paint job.
That is a conversion, yes. He had like a regular sized dork, and then I up-dorked him.
Okay.
Quite a lot, yeah.
So what sort of games do you enjoy playing? We know about your miniatures work, converting, painting, that kind of stuff. But while you were up here, you gamed a couple times a week, it seemed, at least. All different types of board games and card games and miniatures games.
Yeah, so I would say like my history with gaming is mostly tabletop war games, which I tried and failed to play semi-competitively. But once I started working at Privateer Press, I started to get a little bit more into playing some co-op type board games with my mm-hmm. friends, a little bit more low key, just because I can't really keep up with the competitive scene in anything anyways. And if I'm not going to be competitive, I'd rather be on the same team with my friends. So we did a lot of kind of dungeon crawly sort of stuff, starting with, like I said before, HeroQuest. We played through the first HeroQuest, all 14 missions. It's pretty boss.
I know I've got some pretty fond memories of our Mice and Mystics campaign. We got pretty far in that.
Yeah, we did. That's a fun game, too. So I'm trying to think of other games. We tried Descent. I wasn't a huge fan of Descent. We played Zombicide. Just basically anything completely mindless where you just get to kind of toss a wad of dice at the table and then, scream your successes or demises, respectively.
We also had some very successful games of Space Cadets.
Was that the... Oh, that's the one where we control the ship together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one was incredible because we played with my two friends who have like a combined IQ of like 50, and we
put them on the same team. And you can't call them out like that.
I am Turdans. Turdans. So, and then I just rode on DC's coattails to victory. It was great.
So, yeah, that was a Space Cadets Dice Duels that we played that night. We also had a good night of X-Wing. We had some extra drinks that evening.
I remember piloting my X-Wing and then later drunkenly piloting my car home as well.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Piloting an X-Wing is a lot easier when you're drunk than a car.
I give them about equal odds. X-Wings are in space.
Right.
And there's no air in space.
One of the things that we chatted about, based on some of our gaming experiences, is that we do not need the game Cards Against Humanity in order to play just this experience of making fun of things and being a little bit crude. It's just kind of superfluous at this point.
Yeah, let me just for 1 second just rant about that game, because this is one game-related thing I have a strong opinion about, and that's that I fucking hate that game.
What?
Yes, yep. I hate Cards Against Humanity. It's the worst.
How is it the worst game?
All right, here's how it's the worst game. Because the only thing that made it not the worst game was that it replaced Apples to Apples, which is the actual worst game. And so it was like, check me out, I'm Apples to Apples, but I'm actually like dicks
edgy.
To dicks.
Yeah.
Like, get it? It's dirty, so, but also the same game. And, you know, admittedly, the first time I played it or the first few times I played it, it was kind of fun because I hadn't read all the cards before and stuff like that. But the fact that it's like a game that accommodates so many people means that you have to play it at basically every party you go to. And I just can't do it anymore. I don't care about Rush Limbaugh's shitty body, soft shitty body.
That's one of the cards, I assume.
So it's not that you hate the core game. You just hate that you have to play it at every party?
Yeah, I mean,
so I'll take it from there, because I'm in the same boat. I'm not a fan of Cards Against Humanity. I mean, I'm all for games that bring more card games and board games to more people. Like, that's a good thing in my book. But the game itself, to me, is just very lazy, because it's so forced. It's one thing to sit around the gaming table and make jokes and be kind of crude if you and your friends are open to that, to have a few drinks and get kind of silly. That's great. That's a lot of fun. But when it's just like shoved down your throat with cards that say things that you can't not take a particular way, to me, that's less fun. It's less organic when it's so force-fed to you. And that's the problem I have with Cards Against Humanity. And even, like, for example, are you familiar with Telestrations? I think we talked about it on here before.
Yeah, you guys talked about it before. Yeah. It was the game where you kind of draw out a picture, and then it's kind of like telephone.
Right. In Telestrations, one person draws a picture, the next person guesses what it is, the next person tries to draw their guess, the next person tries to guess that drawing, and by the time you get to the end, the picture at the end of the game is usually not what you were supposed to draw at the beginning of the game because of that telephone effect. And when we played Telestrations, almost every time we played, some drawing or another, occasionally even like all the drawings, would wind up being dicks or boobs, or we would have kind of a risque sort of moment after people had kind of relaxed and were just having fun with it. But it wasn't a forced element. It was just how it happened. It was just who we were playing with and the humor level of those particular players. Whereas they have Telestrations After Dark, where what you start with is already dirty. But to me, that's less entertaining. It's how it naturally develops into something crazy that's more fun than if you just start with something where it's like, oh, here's this joke, ha ha ha. It's lazy to me.
So this is where I'm going to argue against it, is that I feel like Telestrations is great for a group of people that like you're relatively comfortable with. With Cards Against Humanity, on the other hand, you can go to a party, you can not really know people, but if you pull out Cards Against Humanity, it does force the crude behavior, but it opens up the type of dialect where people can actually joke around. If I started talking about, like, I have a set that talks about elf cum, or like all this like fucked up things for like Christmas, if I were to see that in any other party setting, it would probably be looked at ill-advised. But the fact that it's on the card and we can open up those lines of dialect, that's why I think it's a great game. It doesn't involve a lot of thinking, so you can convince people who are not gamers at all, I feel, to get into this game and kind of have a little bit more fun.
I think maybe that's part of the disconnect. It's because I don't like people that I can't joke around with and have fun with. Like, I like to be able to open up and just be silly and be myself and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. See, let me
tell you about my favorite Cards Against Humanity experience, because I did remember one time that was pretty excellent. And that was when somebody at a party that I didn't know expressly, like, told everyone, like, I don't dig on the racist cards, like, I don't find those funny at all. And then every time it was her turn to pick cards, everybody played all their racist cards all night long.
That's fucking perfect. That's amazing.
Now that's organic comedy.
I suppose. One of the other things I'm reminded of is, Jordy, you might remember the night we played that,
Hey, we're back!
No, we don't have to do that. It's editing.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you remember the night that we played?
We're back!
Shut up!
Can we do 10 seconds of heavy breathing?
Yes, go ahead and do 10 seconds of heavy breathing.
Okay, all right, ready?
I hope he hyperventilates.
We're back!
If we hear a loud boom.
Okay, but seriously, we're back.
Do you remember the night that we played Magic the Gathering Arena of the Planeswalkers at Mox Boarding House?
Yes.
So, I know that you weren't a huge fan of that game, but I felt like one or two people in the group were really trying hard to play that particular game, and you, for sure, and Katie and I, and to a lesser extent Jenkins, were kind of sort of playing just like joke around and pseudo Cards Against Humanity it up, just be a little bit inappropriate, joke around about what was going on. And then I was also playing this game where I was seeing how much I could just make up rules before someone tried to stop me, which turned out to be the entire game. We got to the end of the game and one of the players insisted, he was like, how is that terraforming rule really worded? How does that work? And it's like, I made it up. There is no terraforming rule. So, but we were all playing games, and it all happened very organically and naturally, but we weren't forcing anything. We were all just having fun with whatever we were trying to have fun with, except maybe the person who was trying to teach us a new game, he might not have been having as much fun.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think Oz knows that whenever he tries to teach us a game, it's going to be Oz playing that game, and then the rest of us playing Fuck with Oz.
Right, right.
So he kind of knows what he's in for when he offers to play a game with this.
All right, so we've talked with Jordy a bit and gotten some of his gaming background. Got a little bit off the rails, but that's okay. Wouldn't be our show if we didn't get a little bit off the rails now and then. So Tony and I are going to chat briefly about some of the stuff we've been up to lately in the gaming world. As some of you guys might know from last episode, I just got back from ZapCon in California. And it was an interesting show. They have a very broad range of things that they do there. So even though it's kind of a medium-sized show with 1,500 or so people, I believe, they cover a lot of ground. Like, they have comic book stuff, they have media guests, they have gaming, they have a lot of cosplay. Having the show in October means that almost every little kid who's there at the show is wearing their Halloween costume, which was kind of funny and kind of cool. Like, lots of people dressed up, probably more percentage-wise than almost any show I can think of, really. But had some fun there, met some great people, and now I'm getting ready for another show. Gonna head down to War Machine Weekend in St. Louis in the coming month. So staying busy with the convention thing, and then also still working on various games. I chatted briefly about We Need a Hero last week, and that's something that's still going on. That's something, actually, that Jordy played briefly while he was still up here. Or no, when you visited.
Which one?
We Need a Hero, the superpower thing.
Oh, yes, I did play that.
Yep. making up crazy superpowers. And if anyone listening has some great superpower ideas, send them in. Just send them to contact@clockworkphoenixgames.com, and maybe they will make it into the We Need a Hero game. So, Tony, what have you been up to?
So, work's been a little crazy lately, so I haven't been able to actually play very much games with friends at all. But what I was excited about was a couple weeks ago, the Star Wars Battlefront beta dropped. So I logged into my PS4, and I'm terrible at first-person shooters, but I've been playing it anyways until it just recently ended.
Well, and that one's, like, fairly mass first-person shooter, right? How many people per se?
Yeah.
A lot?
Fuck, I can't remember. Yeah. I think 30 or something, 15 or 30, something like that. I'm too shy to actually get into the multiplayer aspect, so I was just kind of doing first. I am terrible at first-person shooters. I actually got Destiny for free,
yeah.
And I still, like, I am still on, like, level 7 because I just can't get past it. I'm awful with first-person shooters.
That is probably the one genre I've played the least and suck at the most. It's first-person shooters.
That's how I feel. Ugh. But no, so other than that, I have finally got some stuff going on for Stormlands, which is
cool.
One of the games. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. I just finally started playtesting that. I haven't gotten too many other people to help me out yet. It's only been, like, one other person. So we've been trying to – we've actually been – on the phone, and I've had the phone up, and he's been through, like, FaceTime.
Oh.
And that's how we've kind of been playing it, just because it's – he lives down in Woodbridge. I'm all the way up here, so we're trying to do it that way for right now until we can finally get some time to meet up.
So what do you think so far?
I really like it. It's a lot of fun. Really easy to explain for the dice, since it's – I didn't go out and get special dice. Mm-hmm. I just got a D6.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, like, wrote up, hey, this one is a skull, yep, and this, so – it's been working out pretty well. I'm really enjoying it. I think it's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, we've been playtesting quite a bit locally as well. Have some tweaks for the next edition. Going to make it a bit more difficult. So far, people have mostly been defeating their enemies with relative ease. So going to amp up the difficulty, mm-hmm, a little bit. But overall, the gameplay is really kind of hitting its stride. We also have the artwork is starting to come in. Have some of the final illustrations now available. So stay tuned. We're going to have more information on Stormlands in the future, and hopefully we'll be seeing that game fully come to life sometime during 2016.
But yeah, so other than that, though, hasn't really been anything else. So we'll see what the next couple months actually will be. It'll be fun.
Sounds good. Well, now that we've talked about what we're up to lately, I've got a email from Mark Gaylord, who sent us a question that he had and a discussion topic. He's talking about some of the ideas that he had for a game that he's working on, where there are multiple different characters with abilities that then are able to affect the other characters with support abilities and buffs and whatnot. And he was wondering about how the balancing works when you have so many different possible combinations that include interactions with each other. And what that comes down to is the topic of symmetrical game balance versus asymmetrical game balance. And when you have a bunch of different characters that are able to do different things, what you're really looking at is an asymmetrical game balance type of situation where you don't have an even parity between all the characters, but ultimately you want them all to be attractive and useful in miniatures war games. It's almost always asymmetrical game balance. In a lot of video games that are very character driven and have very diverse character rosters, you have asymmetrical game balance. And that's in contrast to games that have symmetrical game balance, like a lot of traditional board games, games like checkers, chess, Go. You have obvious and symmetrical game balance, but also games where everyone is drawing from the same deck. You have symmetrical game balance because everyone has an equal opportunity to get the same stuff and to use the same cards or tiles, resources, any of that sort of thing that's even between all the players. And a lot of the board games that you think of have that sort of symmetry to them where you don't have to worry about one player having an advantage over another player based on the character that you chose. There's also a lot of games that kind of take a bit of a middle ground. They have characters that are a little bit different from each other. Like Zombicide comes to mind, those characters aren't quite identical, but they all have a pretty similar feel. They all have roughly the same number of action points. One might be a little bit faster. One might be a little bit better in melee or a little bit better with ranged weapons. But they all have a very similar baseline to how powerful they are. And those slight differentiations are a bit easier to develop than really disparate asymmetrical characters like we see in some games. What are some games that you guys like or dislike that have very disparate characters in them?
I'm going to take a veto. Phone a friend. I will phone a friend.
So, I mean, I guess the game that kind of comes to mind is, I guess the best would be, for me at least, is Betrayal on House of the Hill. And the reason is because, you know, all these different characters, they each have, you know, their different stat lines. And, you know, they can interact with each other in the fact that in the very beginning, they can't hurt each other or kill each other. But as you go through the game, you can start leveling up, you know, their different abilities. And then some players, some characters, like the little boy with the baseball bat that seems he's not very good in the beginning. After he, you know, starts getting certain abilities higher and higher, I mean, he maxes out relatively quickly. And he becomes probably one of the best all-around models. And then once you get into the haunting phase, that interaction takes a lot more, like, focus. Like, if the Flash guy gets the gun, he's fucking terrifying because he can now use his speed to like damage you.
Yeah, it's interesting because some games, even that have a lot of asymmetrical elements, the gameplay between the players still is symmetrical. Like, have you ever heard of Succession?
No.
Succession is a board game where you're trying to help determine who's going to be the next king or queen of the land, and there's different people you can back. Like, you can back the priest, you can back the prince, the princess. I'm not going to remember all of them off the top of my head, but each one has very distinct strengths and weaknesses. Like, the prince, he starts out like 70% of the way to becoming the next king, but he's kind of a douche and a loser. So anytime people play cards to hurt his reputation, it just hurts him really badly. And so by the middle of the game or so, if people are trying to stop him from becoming the king, you're just lost if you're trying to back him as the next king. Whereas the priest starts out with, like, no potential at all to become the next king. Like, nobody thinks of him as the king at the beginning of the game, so his capability to become the next king is really, really low. But because he's perceived as someone who is above reproach and who is holy, he never suffers a loss of reputation. So whereas people can drag the prince's name through the mud and it makes him get much, much farther away from becoming the king, if instead you're backing the priest, in the early game, you won't be able to, like, grab a quick victory at all because he has a long way to go, but he also never loses standing in the community. So the characters themselves are very different, but the players all have the exact same chances of winning or losing the game because it's about which of these asymmetrical characters they back, not about what character card they happen to be holding or they happen to have drawn, because it doesn't work that way. You choose who you want to support at different points in the game.
I would choose myself because I'm not a fucking idiot and I want to be the king. So stupid game, right?
Well, but you're not one of the characters in the game, Jordy. You have to pick one of the characters in the game.
I'm the prince.
You are the prince.
I am the prince
who's almost king but is a douchebag and a loser.
That sounds pretty appropriate.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what some other good games are where you've got that really distinct difference between the various characters.
Operation. Yeah, the one with it's kind of hard to describe. It's pretty complicated. There's like a clown.
Okay.
And you have these little metal tweezers, and you're plucking out his organs.
Uh-huh.
And if you touch the tweezers to the side of the clown while you're trying to pluck out his organs, you get electrocuted and you die.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what gives that such powerful asymmetric gameplay?
Oh, because some people are like have really shaky hands, and other people are pretty cool under pressure. You know?
I thought you were going to say the organs are different shapes.
That's also true. Yes.
Yep.
The heart obviously is heart shaped, and the brain looks sort of like a pink cloud.
Okay.
So there's that.
I think I get it.
Right.
You were talking about some games earlier that I think fit into this pretty well. I think the Mice and Mystics has different characters, some of which we found to be a little bit stronger than other ones in most situations.
That's right. Yeah, the first time I played that game, I was sort of forced. Well, I was playing with two people who had played it before, and they already knew which two characters were the busted ass, stupid, awesome ones, and picked those. And I was like, which one should I be? And they were like, how about you be this guy? Because he has to be leveled up before the third mission or you just lose. And I was like, okay. And that guy was Meganos, and he fucking sucks dick, and he never gets better, ever. I played like six missions. Like, this is probably like 6 to 8 hours of my life wasted on Meganos. It was awful.
That sounds fucking terrible.
Well, oh, it's so bad. And then, like, you're waiting because he has, like, a special magical staff in the deck or something like that. And I was just waiting and waiting to get it. I finally got it, and he's still awful.
I thought you were going to tell me that they actually took the staff out of the deck.
And hid it from you? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, that would have been incredible, actually.
That would have been great. It's at the end of the day, it's just a pile of sadness.
Oh. Yeah, no, the joke was just that even when I found the staff, it was still completely useless.
Yeah, asymmetrical game balance is very difficult, partly because you're always inviting those comparisons. People are going to want to know which characters are the strong ones, which characters are the weak ones. In the Undercity game that just released from Privateer Press, already people are saying, oh, well, I think this character is the strongest, or I think that character is the weakest. And fortunately, opinions do vary a little bit. It's always good when you don't have an overwhelming consensus on one particular guy being totally broken or totally sucky. As long as people have different opinions, that's a very good thing in terms of saying that your game balance is at least on the right track.
Yeah, but let's be real here. The Alchemist is broken, right?
The Alchemist is broken? Is that what you think?
Yeah, that guy's insane. Yeah.
I really like the troll. The Trollkin?
I felt like that was going to go with Doorstop.
You were going to go with Pog and Doorstop?
Yeah. Hmm. Just because I like Pog.
Yeah.
That's really my only argument.
So,
oh yeah, let's talk about Pog.
So for those who aren't familiar, let's do a real quick background. Undercity has various characters that are trying, it's a board game. Various characters are working together as a team in this cooperative game experience, and they're fighting against various missions. So some of them are about tracking down some thugs who have information, or trying to stop a problem in a warehouse, or defeat a villain who's raising mindless slaves. It can be various things that they're trying to accomplish, but your team is made up of very different characters. Like, you've got one who's kind of a pistol-packing sorcerer, you've got an alchemist who Jordy was talking about, the Trollkin I mentioned is kind of a defender sort of character that's a real brute and melee, very powerful melee character. And then Pog and Doorstop. Pog is this little goblin sort of dude, but he has his own buddy who's a big, powerful warjack, or kind of a steam-powered magic robot.
They should have obviously been called Pog and Slammer, right?
Oh.
Yeah, I agree.
That was a missed opportunity.
That was a missed opportunity.
Was that Oz's fault?
No. That one, I blame...
No, come on.
You think it's Oz's fault?
I have
it's
no
either
idea,
that or we could blame the
Dream
Killer.
I know I'm comfortable.
I was going to blame Brent.
Brent the Dream Killer.
Yep, Brent the Dream Killer Walder.
Wow, that's kind of a cool nickname. Like Freddy Krueger style.
He's been known. No, not that kind of Dream Killer. Not killing in dreams. Killing your dreams. Your
everything
hopes,
you wanted in life, he just steps on.
Crushing that sparkle from your eyes.
So sad.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty sad.
Let's
dude.
Get back to Pogs.
Let's get back to Pog.
I didn't feel like we really fully discussed the potential of Pogs.
Okay.
I'm thinking some sort of War Machine Hordes Pogs game coming up in the future. Could be a big moneymaker.
Yeah.
Patent pending.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, I mean, the number of focus points determines how many Pogs you can have in your stack.
Or like the weight of your slammer or something.
Yeah, when you use your feet, you can use one of those extra big metal slammers that got outlawed from schools.
Because, like, do you know how often those hit people?
Yeah, exactly.
It was awful.
That's why they outlawed them.
Yeah. So, and then what was it? But for tournaments, like, you'd have to have like a little weight to make sure you measure the pogs and make sure they have the appropriate, you know, thickness and heft.
Yeah. I mean, the competitive pog scene has gotten a lot stricter over the years.
Yeah, like, they're totally popping people for roids and blood doping now. You just can't get away with anything.
People take that antler juice to heal themselves up after a rough game.
I hope, like, all joking aside, that Pogs is still, like, super huge in Russia or something, and there's, like, Vladimir this and that as the Pogs champion, and they're, like, super into it. Sort of like ping pong in Asia.
He kind of just walks in, Vlad takes off his shirt.
I think there's a difference between ping pong and Pogs here.
Yeah, you're right. Pogs is much more intense.
Okay.
I would say there is no difference. I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's no difference.
All right.
Same game. Basically, ping pong is just two slammers slamming a Pog back and forth.
That's true.
Until one is declared the victor. So.
You can't really argue with that logic.
No.
Or
you shouldn't even try.
At least you can't really argue with Jordy using logic.
Yeah, basically, if you start to win an argument, I'm just going to heavy breathe over you anyways, so.
All right. So, any other games that come to mind that fit this particular topic? Jordy, were you there the night that we played the Gears of War cooperative board game?
Yes.
So
I thought those characters were pretty symmetrical.
They were.
But I can't remember that.
Yeah. Okay, they weren't quite identical, but they were close. They had almost exactly the same capabilities between them. So you can do those sort of cooperative dungeon crawl experiences with characters that are truly symmetrical or ones that are almost symmetrical, kind of like in Gears of War. And I would say it's comparable in Zombicide. But then you can take it to kind of the other extreme and have the characters be very different from one another, like in Undercity or like in Mice and Mystics. But then it's a delicate balancing act. It takes a lot of work to make those characters balanced against each other. And especially when you have interactions that can kind of assist the other characters, you want those interactions to be meaningful, but you also don't want it to be so powerful that then it winds up dictating gameplay, so that every turn this character does this to support this character, and then some other character also supports the same character, and then that one person is doing all of the work. Because then the other people aren't really having any fun, they're just kind of running on autopilot. So you want cool interactions, but you also want each character to have an opportunity to shine. That's one of the big things with asymmetrical gameplay. There should be some circumstance where each character is kind of the best. And I think even in Mice and Mystics, you said you don't like Magnos, but there were times where you needed him, where he had his moment to shine.
Was there?
I thought there were some missions where he was kind of the one who was able to do the magical ability that other people couldn't do.
Well, I remember there's one mission where you literally have to have him to win.
Right.
As I recall.
Using all his magic, mystic, spellcraft shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty boring to play, though.
But they needed you, Jordy.
They did need you, Jordy.
You were like their Luke Skywalker. Or their Obi-Wan. You were their only hope.
That's true. I wanted to be their Han Solo.
All right. Well, that does wrap up our time. So thank you, Jordy, for joining us. And we hope you're able to be on the show again soon. Tony, good talking with you as always. Thanks to everyone out there for listening to Your Turn Next again this episode. We definitely appreciate it, and we hope that if you have any questions or comments that you'll contact us either on the Facebook page is fine or through contact@clockworkphoenixgames.com. Also, if you have any great ideas for cool superpowers for We Need a Hero, go ahead and send those to us as well. Overall, just thanks and hope you have a great week. Take care.
See you.
Adios.
To contact Your Turn Next by email, send your message to contact@clockworkphoenixgames.com. Your Turn Next is copyright 2015 by its hosts and is released under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License.
All right, well, if nobody has any questions, we're just going to go ahead and do 5 to 10 seconds of silence, then I'll introduce the show, and we'll get going.
Okay.
Sounds good.
That's not silence.
Oh. I thought we just meant no talking.
Right.
Starting now?
Starting now.
Okay.
You're not going to let me get... No, I knew this was going to happen. All right, ready? 10 seconds. You can do it.
Oh, God, I can't do it. I can't do it, DC. I gotta get this breathing out.
All right, get all your breathing out now. Quick, hurry.
Okay.
Hyperventilate, pass out.
Okay, all right.
All right, we're good. Ready?
Okay, go.
Ready, three, set, go. 10 seconds.
Three, two, okay, go. 2, 1, go.
All right, that's long enough. I'm going to start the show now.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was great. All right. This is not going to go very well, is this?
It's going to be fucking awesome.
Oh, I mean, that's it. It's going to be awesome. Okay. Hello, everyone. And
are we
welcome...
starting again?
We were starting.